Hey everyone, my name is Lorena, and thanks for checking out one of our sermons today. We're so glad that you're here, and we want to connect with you and your family. And the easiest way to do that is to text River Church to 97000. There you can ask questions, submit a prayer request, and even support the River Church financially. And at the end of the day, we just want to connect with you and be a blessing to you in any way that we can. You can also visit our website, theriverchurch.cc, to learn more about us and what we have going on as a church. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you are blessed by today's message.
Morning, everybody. Welcome to the River Church. We are so glad you are here. If you have your Bible, it will be in Ephesians chapter number 5. Most every time I preach, I encourage you to open up your Bible. Would love for you to follow along. This morning, I'm going to especially do that, even on your phone, in your Bible app. I think there'll be some things as you read along. We're going to read a little bit longer passage. I think it'll be helpful for you to follow along. And also, there's going to be something I want to show you that's not so easily seen on the screen, but better seen in your Bible or on your app. So would love for you to do that. As Pastor Roy said, February is Family Month. And we have some great events coming up. Looking forward to that. We have Daddy-Daughter Dance on Friday. We have the Mother-Son event on Friday. We have bowling and roller skating. All of those things just for us to join together in fellowship of the church. So looking forward to that. But last week when I preached, I told you it was a sensitive topic. I said you could make a top five list of the most sensitive things to share, and this would be right at the top. And we talked about giving last week. Well, this week, we're going to stay in the sensitive ballpark. We're going to stay in a place that is sensitive. We're going to begin to talk about family. We're going to begin to talk about what does it mean? What is God called a husband and a wife? What does that look like? And as you know, there's a great battle in our world over family. The evil one would love to confuse you about what family is, what family looks like, what a wife is, what a husband is. The evil one would love to confuse us. Why? Because marriage is something that is beautifully created by God. It is not instituted by man. It is created by God. And so there is this battle of confusion. And even when I speak of family and speak of husband and wife and parenting and all those things, I look out and there's many different places that you are in. Saying some of those things, you can be in a place where there's some hurt. There's some confusion. There's some sensitivity. There's some shame. So this morning, as we go to God's word and look to marriage, I want you to see something first. And that is, when the Bible talks about marriage, it is a parable. And what I mean, it is, the marriage has great purpose. It helps us understand something that is so important. The Bible talks about marriage in a parable that it helps us understand our relationship between our relationship to Christ, to Jesus. Now, I tell you this, and if you're a churchy and you hear the word parable, you think of like, well, Jesus told parables. He told stories. And what he would do, he'd tell us a story to help us understand a truth. So he would tell us a story of farming. He would tell us a story of pruning a tree to help us understand a truth. So here's what I want you to hear. You may be sitting there and go, Pastor, marriage is not the thing I need to hear about this morning. And I want to tell you, just as you go to the Bible and hear a parable of Jesus and hear, well, I'm not a farmer and I'm never pruning a tree, I'm skipping this parable. I want you to hear the message of marriage is to help us understand the truth of Jesus' love for you. That no matter where you're at, no matter how tender this is, don't get confused to go, well, this morning's a self-help sermon on how to be a better husband. That is not it. We are going to God's word because God tells us marriage helps us to understand Christ's love for you. I don't want you to skip by it. So listen, if you are single, young single, old single, if you are widowed, if you're a grandparent, if you're divorced, all of us will do well to consider the truth this morning about marriage. So let's pray and see what the Bible tells us about marriage. Lord God, thank you this morning. Lord, you know every heart. You know where everyone is this morning. And Lord God, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you tell us the Holy Spirit reveals your truth. And so, Lord, everyone here that you know, may they hear your truth this morning. May you reveal this morning in a personal way who you are in your truth and your love. Lord, I sure do pray for your help, and I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. All right, Ephesians chapter number 5. We're going to start in verse 15, and we're going to read a few verses, so follow along. Sometimes when we read the Bible, there's a passage that's really hard to follow along. This really isn't one of those. Now, there's going to be some tender things said here, and I know, and we're going to deal with them, but let's look at it. The Bible says, look carefully then how you walk, how you live, what every day looks like. Not as unwise, but as wise. The Bible says, making the best use of time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Verse 18, don't get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, that is reckless living. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. In verse 22, it says, wives, submit to your own husband as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husband. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she may be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. Listen, this morning, as we begin to walk through marriage and see what does this look like, you may have heard a passage that you didn't really like. You may have heard something and go, what does this mean? And I think it's good to point out, as one commentary said, is that if we don't see this clearly, this gets perverted and abused by disordered and sinful men. The commentator goes on to say this, God's holy word in the hands of a religious fool can do immense harm. And so when we hear this passage this morning, it is my goal that if we're going to understand what the Lord is telling us here, we must have a clear view on the whole passage. You can hear one of those verses, and if you don't understand the perspective of the whole of it, you will miss what's happening. It will, instead of taking you to happiness, it'll take you to hate. Instead of taking you to a place of knowing God's love, you will be fearful of God's love. And so this morning, maybe this will be a joy for you, we are not going to have time to get into the specific roles of a wife and a husband. We'll save that for next week. So if you're like, oh, that's the week I'm skipping. Okay. This week, we must see clearly what this passage means. It's like this week, I was driving along out on M59, and I was driving, and I looked to the guy beside me, and his windshield just stuck out to me. Now, we all live in this wonderful state of Michigan, right? And these last couple months have been so wonderful. It's been so great. But we understand as we drive on these roads and the salt and the mud and the scurve and all the things, right? When we drive down the road and then the sun hits the road and then it melts kind of and then it shoots up on your windshield, we are in constant hitting that windshield wiper fluid, you know, the windshield, you know, we are constantly cleaning off the windshield. At least we should. The guy next to me, he decided to not take care of his car, and I looked over, it was just caked in all of that, and he had this little hole that he could see out of. His perspective was very narrow. He didn't take care of his car, right? And none of you ever do this, right? Some of you are like, you haven't changed your windshield wipers in like 3 years, right? They don't do anything. And now they get half frozen. And some of you who has ran out of windshield washer fluid this month, anybody? Uh-huh. I see you roll down the window, have your water bottle, and you're doing this. Mm-hmm. But I think of this passage. If we don't understand the full view of what God is saying, if it is just this narrow view and we read one verse, we are going to miss the joy of the Lord. We are going to miss the truth of what God is teaching us. And so this morning, my goal is to help you see the overall, what is the Lord saying? And that's why we read a big part of this passage. Now, go with me to verse 21. And this is where I think it'll be helpful to look on your app or your Bible. Verse 21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, I want to tell you, this verse is really important in this passage. Where this verse connects to is really important. And what is interesting is that the ESV, or you have the Legacy Bible, or you have the CSB, if you have those translations, you'll find that Bible in the paragraph, they take verse 21 and they connect it to verses 15 through 20. It's in that paragraph. But if you have the NIV or you have the New Living Translation, you'll find that that verse is not connected to verses 15 through 20. That verse is now pushed down to verse 22. And some of you are like, Pastor, I have the King James Version. We don't have paragraphs because in the Greek, there wasn't paragraphs. It's true, but don't get haughty. There weren't Bible verses either. You got numbers next to it, all right? But here you'll see there's a helping to understand where does this go. And so this verse, understanding where it connects, is so important in understanding what's happening. Verse 21, what is it connected to? And unless we understand its connection, we're going to miss the overall truth. And we can't do that. See, I want you to understand how important it is to know that verse 21, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ, is connected with verse 15 through 20. It is vital to understand this. If you don't see it, you will miss the importance. Because see in verse 18, it talks about how do we walk carefully? How do we live a life that honors the Lord? It says this in verse number 18. It says, don't get drunk with wine, for that is reckless living, but be filled with the Spirit. The Lord takes this and says, listen, to walk a life that is wise, to walk a life that honors me, He uses a contrast. He says, you can't be drunk with wine. Why? Because to be drunk with wine is when you lose self-control, you move to reckless, sinful living. This is sin, to be drunk. Don't be filled with that. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled. And we've talked about over and over the last couple of weeks, the last couple of months, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. To when we come to know Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, but we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, meaning we need to be led. We need to be, our life needs to be directed by the Holy Spirit. And then the next couple of verses give four things that the Holy Spirit will do if you are filled with the Spirit. I love how the church, we get confused what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit. The Bible says, watch what happens. Four things are going to happen when you're filled with the Spirit, is what Ephesians tells us. It says this. It says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Here you see two things. It says, when you're filled with the Spirit, inside of your heart, a melody is going to be there. There is going to be a song in your heart. There is going to be something when the Holy Spirit is leading your life in you, there is going to be this joy inside. There is going to be this melody in your heart. But it says it's not just in your heart. It says you're going to sing psalms and spirit. You're going to do it together. There is going to be this outpouring of song from you to worship in corporate work together. You singing will encourage somebody else. This is what it looks like when the Holy Spirit fills you. In my life, I have this great memory in my soul. It is just this wonderful thing that I will never forget. It is this memory of when I was a kid, that on the other side of the house, and specifically on Sunday mornings, on the other side of our house, I would hear this whistling in the morning. There would just be this whistling that would go across the house. And I can remember Sunday after Sunday, there would be this whistling on Sunday morning. And it would be my father. And he would be whistling a hymn. He would be whistling about the Lord. What is great. My son's a whistler, and it just makes me remember that. But my dad whistling. Why? Because there was a great melody in his heart. My dad, who this verse specifically speaks to, my dad was a man who was drunk with wine for many years of his life. He was filled with addiction, and the Lord showed up. Jesus showed up and saved his life, and to be filled with the Spirit, what happened? There was this outpouring of song in whistle form. It was this joy. It was this transformation. It was this happiness, even when things were difficult, because there was this filling of the Holy Spirit. Goes on to say that in verse 20, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That not only is there this joy making a melody in your heart, singing together, there's this giving thanks for who God is and what he did and who he is. It pours out. And then it brings us to verse 21. Submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. See, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, and you may be sitting there going, well, how does that happen? The Bible says when we come to know Christ, we receive the Spirit. But the Bible says then what the Holy Spirit does, Jesus tells us before he went to the cross in the upper room, he says the Holy Spirit, it's found in John 16, 13. He says the Holy Spirit is going to remind you. He is going to lead you in the understanding. It says when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. The Holy Spirit, what he does is he reveals the truth of who God is. And what he did. Being filled with the Spirit is growing and knowing who, the truth of God's love, the truth of God's way, the truth of God's direction. Tim Keller says it this way, he will remind you, he will make known. The Holy Spirit's task then is to unfold the meaning of Jesus, the person and the work, to believers in such a way that the glory of it, its infinite importance and beauty, is brought home to the heart and mind. And being filled with the Spirit, another commentary says the Holy Spirit makes a person loving, forgiving, peaceful, self-controlled, gentle, and tender-hearted toward others. This brings us to verse 21, that if we know Christ, if we are filled with the Holy Spirit, we will be submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Now, the Bible teaches submission We look at submission, that submission to authority, submission to church leadership, submission to parents, submission to a boss at work. All of that's clear in the Bible. But I want you to hear, when the Bible is speaking of submission here, it's deeper than that. The Bible calls Christians to have such a tender care and love for one another that they would put someone else's need in a place that only the Holy Spirit can move them to put that need. Philippians 2 says it this way, says, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in the full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only on his own interests, but also to the interests of others. And the Bible says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. If we have the filling of the Holy Spirit, it will lead us to look and to care and to submit to others that is only done through the power of the Holy Spirit. And in this verse, I so want you to see in this passage, the overall view is that to live a life in submission only comes when we are first filled with the Holy Spirit. I bring this vacuum out here because I just want you to see this picture in life. Everyone is looking, what can I do? What do I need to be filled with? What can I bring into my life that will bring me joy? What can I find? And it's just, I turn on the vacuum, it'd be too distracting, right? Like, but what can I do to bring that in? What will fill my life? And we search and we go, okay, what is it gonna be? And I love here, the Bible used, don't be drunk with wine. Why? Because that's one of the things that we can go, is that going to give me happiness? Is that going to give me joy? Is that going to fill me up? And the Bible goes, it's not. Oh, for a short season. But there's one thing that will bring you joy. There's one thing. It is the good news of Jesus Christ, that Christ died on the cross and rose again. He offers you salvation to have a relationship with the Lord, to walk with him. This is the filling that will bring you joy. This is the filling that will transform your life. This is what gives us a new relationship with people. This is how we treat people differently. And this is how we treat our spouse differently. This is how a Christian is called to act different to their spouse. Because we're called to be filled with the Spirit and then to love them with the love of Christ in this submitting, caring way that comes through the Holy Spirit. See, verse 21 says, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And we must see it's in connection with being filled with the Spirit. But can I tell you, you must see it's in connection with the rest of the chapter. You must see that when you look at verse 22, watch this. Ready? The Bible says, wives, submit to your own husbands. Now, that word submit, if you have a literal translation Bible, you'll see that word is italics, is in italics. Why? That word's not there in the Greek. In the original Greek, it's not there. It just reads, wives to your own husbands. And you're saying, well, the Bible doesn't tell us to submit. No, no. Verse 21 is so connected to 22. The only way verse 22 makes sense is if you get verse 21. Because verse 21 in the Greek is saying, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so verse 22 is saying, in this submission, the Greek carries on to verse 22, wives, because of what Christ has done, what does it look like for you? You will be in submission to your husband. Verse 25, husbands, what does that look like? And being filled with the Spirit, submitting to one another, you will love your wife. Now, when you first read that, you can think, man, so a wife has to submit and all the husband has to do is love. And I will tell you the reason this doesn't make sense to us, because we have so destroyed the word love. We don't even get what it means. We don't get the weight that is placed here on this word. We don't understand the submission that is placed in this word love. We have so destroyed love in our community. We make it just a part of kindness and smiling. And truthfully, when we say the word love, most of the time, we just go, oh man, I'm just looking out for what I can get. But here, the word love, it is so heavy. The word love goes, you are looking out for that person, their best interest. And it goes on even further to say, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. What did he do? He gave everything. That husbands, you're to look like Jesus, who joyfully came and laid down his life for the church. And see, we won't get what biblical marriage looks like unless we see the connection of submitting. It goes back to being filled with the Holy Spirit, who changes everything because of the joy of the gospel of Jesus. It changes our relationships with everybody. And if it says it not only changes our relationship with our neighbors, just think how important it is for it to change our relationship with our spouse. Seeing the power of the Holy Spirit that will change everything. And in the submitting to one another, because we have reverence, we have awe, we look at how wonderful Christ is, it changes how we look at our spouse. See, in our culture today, many times people think, they take their vacuum out and go, what's going to fulfill me? And they go, man, it's going to be this marriage. And so they turn the vacuum on and go, yep, I know what's going to get the marriage. And I'm looking for someone who will fulfill me. And so you get married and you just turned on the vacuum and go, all right, let's go, fulfill me. Except they also brought their vacuum. They also turned on their vacuum. And they're going, okay, fulfill. Now you have two vacuums, both trying to fulfill themselves. Can I tell you, if you place marriage in a place where only God will fulfill, that marriage is going to fail you. If you think marriage is going to bring you the joy that only comes from the Lord, that marriage will become an idol and you'll miss where true joy comes from. Young adult, listen to me. Don't fall for the lie that this world says is if you find that guy, if you find that girl, then your life will be fulfilled. It is a lie. Because you'll try to put that person in a place that only God can fulfill. Only God is going to fulfill the joy. Only God is going to give you true hope that is lasting eternally. Only God will fulfill that. So this passage, as we read it, as you see verse 21, you have to connect it with 15 through 20. You also see, you have to connect it with the rest of the passage. John Piper says that every verse following verse 21 is an expansion of the principle on chapter 21. Another pastor says he is declaring that everything he is about to say about marriage assumes that the parties are being filled with God's Spirit. And only if you have learned to serve others by the power of the Holy Spirit will you have the power to face the challenges of marriage. See, God calls for biblical marriage to be completely different. It says that we go into marriage submitting to one another. Now, when we see the roles of a wife and we see the roles of a husband, are there specifics? Yes. And next week we'll talk about those specifics because it's beautiful and it's what the Lord has created. But if we don't understand this is all called in submission to one another, we miss. We must see that selfishness is killing so many marriages. We must see that the Lord calls us to not just love because we receive love. To not just respond to your spouse in care and how you should respond when they respond correctly. The Bible says you love even when you don't get love back. You serve even when you don't feel served back. You sacrifice even when you don't feel sacrificed back coming back to you. And you may say, I don't like that. I don't want to do that. And I bring you back to see that God is calling us to act like Jesus in our marriage. That Jesus came to serve, not to be served. That Jesus came and he laid down his life for you. That Jesus joyfully went to the cross to die for our sins. That we may have life. Paul, as he gets to the end of this talking on marriage, in verse 31, he said, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. He points to, this is a passage in Genesis, and it's also what Jesus quotes, and he brings it back here in the epistles. He points to marriage, said, this is what marriage is, and it's like, verse 32, he's like, this mystery is profound. This is a great mystery. What he's just explained, he said, this is a great mystery, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church. He brings it back, and as you read this and what the role of a woman, the role of a man, he just keeps coming back to Christ and what he did. And he brings it back to say, marriage, what is it? It's to point you to know the love of Jesus, to see his great love. And this humbles us. And this brings us to a place to serve one another. One said, by the Spirit, he can make us happy enough to be humble, giving you an internal fullness that frees you to be generous with the other, even when you are not getting the satisfaction you want out of the relationship. And you may hear that this morning, and if you're honest, you give pushback to that and go, that's not the kind of marriage I want. I don't want to do that in my marriage. And I guess I'll just challenge you, if you know the Lord, do you trust that his word is true? Do you trust that what the Lord says will bring you joy and fulfillment really will bring you joy and fulfillment? Do you trust that following what the Lord has really is the best hope for you and your relationship and your marriage and your joy? Oh, I'm not saying it's easy. See, as a pastor, I'm a husband, so I sat in great conviction this week. Thinking how easy it is for me to be selfish. Thinking how easy it is for me to not come being filled with the Spirit. And then especially when I don't get what I want, well, now I'm going to hold back what she wants. and we miss the joy of the Lord. One said, where do you turn when marriage is difficult? Do you turn to alcohol, deer hunting, work, pornography? What other wrong place can I put down there? Or do we turn to Christ? So this morning is a challenge for us. No matter where you're at, first, know the love of the Lord. Know his salvation. Be filled with his hope and joy. And allow that to transform you in all of your relationships, especially in the relationship of marriage. I'm going to pray, and Pastor Roy's going to come lead us in communion. Lord, thanks for this morning. Thanks for your word. May we be challenged this morning. Oh God, may we see your truth and believe it. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.